same thing.
One act of kindness in public will affect everyone around you.
I've always depended on the kindness of strangers.
And welcome to the show. We're going to jump right in at 203-333-9422. And if we can hear from you, we can make this last right through noon. 203-333-9422. Greg from Northport, welcome to the show. What does it look like in Northport today, Greg? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. It's been a while since I've spoken to you.
I know. You do those beautiful, wonderful cartoons. Are you still drawing?
I am, yes. Yeah, still going crazy. It's the perfect job for over the past few years with the pandemic and everything, because I work at home, so it's just it's been good for that, but it's, you know. Anyway, things are good in Northport, and it's beautiful here today. So
it's a beautiful town, Northport. Beautiful place.
Yeah, it is. It is. Anyway, I've been wanting to call about this. Kind of as a stranger. I know you do it every week, but I just haven't had the time to get to you. But I wanted to call this week, and it's a little story that something happened to me, but it was also not only kindness of a stranger, but it also taught me two really important lessons that I try to keep in mind to this day, because it happened about 15 years ago, and it was late one night. I think it was a Friday night. I was coming home from a very long, stressful day, and it was before I was doing the cartooning full time, so I was working in a bookstore, and I had another job I was just starting. So I was working these two jobs, and then my mother had just went into the hospital also that past week. So everything was really stressful. But as I walked in the door that night, I realized that my wallet was missing. So, I mean, normally that would be a big problem, but at that moment in my life with everything going on with the work and my mother in the hospital, it was just, it just was like, you know, kind of too much to deal with, getting a new driver's license, credit cards.
Yeah.
I mean, my first thought was just, you know, how am I going to have the time to even deal with this, with everything else that was going on at that moment? So anyway, I knew the last place I used my wallet was on the way home that night. I had stopped at like a drugstore to pick up, I don't know, toothpaste or something. But at that point, it was after 11 at night, and they were closed. So I figured I'd go back first thing in the morning and see when they opened, see if maybe someone had found the wallet. So that's what I did. The next morning, I went down there and I asked at the front counter if anyone had found a wallet. And the cashier said, yeah, one of the other cashiers had found one. And she pointed out to me, and I went over. And sure enough, she had the wallet. And in fact, she said they had just called me and left a message, but I'd missed it because I was on my way there. And this is like still when answering machines were still
right, different technology, right?
Yeah, so I had missed the message, but anyway, they had it. There was no money missing, and it was, anyway, I was so grateful and so relieved and everything with this woman cashier she was so kind and warm. And but here's where like the lessons came in about this, because I wanted to give her some money as a reward, but she said no, and she was really firm about this. She was. Said something like, I would never take money just for doing the right thing.
Mm.
And that really stuck with me. And
that's a beautiful let. Look at that. I would never take money for just doing the right thing. Wow.
Yeah.
That's profound.
And that really did stick with me. You know, this is so many people are just, you know, don't really think in that way, I guess. But
no.
But then the other lesson was that I knew, like, you know, to her, it wasn't really a big deal getting the wallet back to me. But to me, at that moment, with everything that was going on in my life, it was tremendous. I mean, it was such a gift to be able to go to the hospital that morning and be with my mother and go to work and not have to deal with deal with the credit cards and the license plates. And
yes.
And I mean, actually, my mother, she ended up passing away a few weeks after that. So that time I had to be with her was really valuable. And, you know, I have worked in the past in a lot of customer service and with people. And the thing is, you never really know what's going on with people inside, the things that they could be dealing with. And where just showing someone the smallest kindness could mean the world to them.
Mm-hmm.
You never know what people are going through in their lives. So
she didn't just give you your wallet back. She gave you the gift of time with your mother.
Yeah. And she gave me that lesson, too. It was But, you know, it's funny. This is just a quick postscript. Like, I've thought about that woman through the years and how grateful I was just, you know, for that day. And I always wanted to have the chance to thank her for that. But I just never saw her really. I didn't really, that wasn't a drugstore I would normally go to that she worked at. But about 2 years ago, and this must have been right before the pandemic, because I know it wasn't during the pandemic, I was waiting in line at a different drugstore, but it was the same chain of the.
Yeah.
And as I walked up to the cash register, I realized it was that woman working.
Really?
At least I thought it was her. And I asked her, did you used to work at the Huntington location? And she said, yeah, and then we got to talking, and I realized it was her, definitely her. And,
did
and
you
it felt
thank
funny
her again?
Bringing up this story, but I was like, I have to tell her. I just have to thank her for that day. So I did, and I said, I just wanted to tell you, you probably don't remember this, but what you did for me that day, and to let you know that, you know, you may not realize it, but working here, you've probably helped so many people in ways you don't even realize. Just because she was such a kind person, and just I knew that she had helped a lot of people, and so we talked for a while. And as I left, like she was crying almost, and I was almost crying.
You made her day.
You
made her day because and you know she didn't do it obviously for a thank you. She did it because it was the right thing to do, and that's her moral code of conduct, and that's what she would do.
Yeah, yeah. So that just always stuck with me. And again, it's like a small story. It wasn't like a major thing, but it was just something that really, I just really impacted me. And, you know, I just wanted to share it anyway.
No, I just think that it's so beautiful that what you took from that isn't just the wallet, but the lesson. And I think the lesson is so big.
Yeah.
It's so big.
Yeah. So that was, you know.
Because I don't think we stress enough, Greg, that. You know, my father always says people always know right from wrong, but they and so sometimes they do the wrong thing. They know they're doing it, but they do it anyway. He always used to say that to me. They know they're doing it. They do it anyway. And that always stuck with me. You know, that always stuck with me because if we remember that most of the time we do know what is right from what is wrong, and we just stick to doing the right thing, that's how you build a life, right, of worth. That's how you build a life of worth, by just doing the right thing. Yeah. And it was the right thing to look you up and return your wallet. Of course it was the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just, you know, I mean, just the fact that it didn't even like cross her mind like to accept money for that. It just seemed like, you know, something you just do.
You just do. Because she would have wanted to be treated the same way, Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So she would have wanted, if she lost her wallet, that someone would honestly and forthrightly return it to her. And not think that they deserved a reward for that, just to do the right thing.
Yeah, yeah. So that was really.
Thank you, Greg. What a beautiful thing that you got to meet her again and thank her and let her feel appreciated.
I know, that was
so great. You made her day. She felt so appreciated.
Yeah.
And you know what? She might have needed to hear that on that day. She might have been feeling blue. Maybe people weren't nice to her. Maybe things in her life weren't going that way well. But she needed to hear that message that day. And maybe that's why she cried, because she needed to hear that message that day.
And, you know, maybe that's another lesson. Like, if you sometimes, you know, you think you don't want to tell something to someone because it just seems schmaltzy or something. You know? It's like it might be, like, too much, or, you know, you don't want to pay someone a compliment because, they probably, you know, they don't care. But, you know, maybe they do. Maybe it would really be big for them to hear something good. Like, so.
Yep. Thank you, Greg. Thanks for sharing it today. It's so nice to hear from you. Can you give a shout out to your site? You're such a talented cartoonist. Come on, tell everyone about you.
Oh, well, it's Kyle's Bed and Breakfast. If you just Google Kyle's Bed and Breakfast or kylecomics.com, if you go, it's my comic strip, and it's open to everyone.
Well, thank you, Greg. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening from Northport. Thank you so much.
Yeah, even though I haven't called in a while, I do listen almost every day. So your show is great, and it's such a light in the world that we really need. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Greg. Let's go to Lynn from Shelton. Hi, Lynn. Thank you for holding. We're talking about the kindness of strangers this morning. Good morning.
Hi, Lisa. Good morning. This is my second time actually calling in because I love this segment so much. I want to keep it going. So
great. Thank you.
I thought I'd be the one to step up to the plate.
Thank you.
My story of kindness today is actually there is a little place in Derby. I don't know if you've ever read about it in the paper. I read the New Haven Register every day, but I also frequent this place. It's called A&M Bagels, and it's on Route 34 in Derby.
No, I love the name already. Go ahead, yeah.
Oh, well, it's a husband and wife team, and I think the wife's name is Amelia, and the husband's name is Myron, and he was actually born in Ukraine. And there was an article in the paper last week, and they had a fundraiser Saturday, this past Saturday, and I was in there today. I wasn't able to make it to the fundraiser, but I was in there today. They opened at 7 this morning, and they're usually sold out by the time they close at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay. And I was in at 10, and they only had two types of bagels left. You can't complain, because all their bagels were sold out by 10 o'clock this morning.
Amazing.
These two types.
Wow.
So I asked them, I said, how did you do at the fundraiser this weekend? They raised over $22,000.
Really?
For the people of Ukraine. And they donated 100% of that money to help the people of Ukraine.
They made $22,000 worth of bagels and whatnot and food and gave all the money away?
They had other people. In the paper, it said they were having other people that were Ukraine descent also make other baked goods to sell. And they were just asking also for donations. They raised $22,000.
That's incredible.
Yes.
That's really beautiful.
This place, these people are so kind, so nice. It's a small little place in Derby, and everybody raves about it.
Are you personally saying that in addition to the kindness, do you want to give them a shout out? Do they have great food?
Oh, they do. And they told me, the lady in front of me says, this is all that's left. She said it, you know, nicely. And they said, yes, the problem is we're all over the news all the time. In the article in the paper last week, people line up on the weekends. They line up before they open up their doors at 7 a.m.
Wow.
That their bagels are amazing.
I didn't know that there were amazing bagels in Connecticut. I'll be honest with you.
You have to go try it.
Okay. Well, it's so heavily high in gluten. I love the taste, but honestly, I can't digest it anymore, Lynn. Can't.
Okay.
But I can have it in my freezer for everybody who wants to come. If it isn't for me, it can be for all my loved ones, because everybody loves a good bagel.
There you go. There you go. So I just wanted to say, I just also want to thank the kindness. They're so kind there. The woman that works at the desk, she always has a smile on her face. And they're just such nice people. And I enjoyed, this was my special time today to go on Friday. And I ended up getting a half dozen bagels. I'll put half in the freezer to give to my daughter. And I just finished one, and now I'm going to take my dog out for a walk.
What kind of bagel do you like? What's your favorite kind of bagel?
Well, there it is, their cheese and jalapeno bagel, but they didn't have it today. But my favorite bagel there is probably just a whole wheat bagel.
Interesting. Okay, so you're not a purist in the world of bagels, because to me, the purest bagel, right, would be somebody who either likes plain or with sesame, which is my father's favorite, or with poppy, but watch it in case you have to take a drug test, because you'll show up, you know, positive for opiates, which happened to my cousin, true story, or the everything bagel, which is my daughter's favorite, where they throw on salt, sesame, poppy. I think that's it, salt, sesame, poppy, and they put it all together. And that's, you know what she does? She takes that everything bagel mix and she throws it on top of a challah, and she makes what she calls an everything challah. It's unbelievable. It's divine. It's so good.
Oh, my gosh. I could imagine. That's heavy. Really so good.
Yummy.
That's,
well, thank you,
so
Lynn,
good.
For the call. And thanks for letting us know about this wonderful store and their efforts on behalf of Ukraine. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for your segment. Every day I listen. I'm retired now. I retired on December 29th.
You did? What'd you used to do?
I was a registered respiratory therapist at Yale.
Get out.
And I worked for 42 years as a therapist.
Lynn, and you made it through COVID, and then you said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore?
I couldn't do it anymore. I have rheumatoid arthritis, and I made it through COVID. I did not get COVID. And so I retired on the 29th at the age of 62 and a half. And the next day I got a puppy.
Oh, you did? What kind of puppy?
Yeah. I have a miniature Australian Labradoodle. And her name is Gracie, because by the grace of God, I made it through COVID at work. And I named her Gracie. And she is amazing. And what you said before about dogs, you know, hugging and everything, she has brought me the most amount of joy I've ever had in my life.
It's amazing, right?
Her.
It's amazing
it's
with
amazing.
The dog. I know.
Yeah.
Do I want to ask if you're married so your husband takes a second
seat? I'm married.
Seat? Yeah,
I'm married,
of course.
And my husband
right.
never had a pet.
Right.
And
oh.
he loves this dog.
Oh, he
her.
Must be so in love with the dog. You know, it's interesting about men. My husband grew up with bigger dogs, German Shepherds, and beautiful Golden Retrievers and everything else. But he, Bill, became allergic to dogs and they're shedding hair. So when I did my research, I went with Bichons because they're the perfect breed for my lifestyle. They're not too big. They're not too small. They can still jump on the bed, but they don't need a lot of exercise every day. For me, it wouldn't be good to have a dog that needed a tremendous amount of romping. Anyway, mm-hmm. Bill, when we first got our dog, it was a small little thing. And he was like, I don't know if I'm going to attach to small dogs. Meantime, it's now 30 plus years that we've had Bichons. I mean, this is his whole life is devoted to the dogs. And I mean it. It's literally his whole life is devoted to the dog. So I think yeah. I think men very easily attach once the dog is in their home, you know, once
oh,
they're there.
Yes. Yeah. My husband's been wonderful. But he's yeah. off at work all day. So,
right. Oh, so you
Grace
get your dog.
Meets him at the top of the stairs.
Oh,
yeah. At the top
nice.
Of the stairs. She hears that garage open. And she just jumps up, whatever she's doing, and can't wait for Daddy to be here.
What a so it's a mini Aussie,
yeah, miniature Australian Labradoodle.
So what is that? What color? 25.
She's white with a little bit of tan markings.
Okay,
she's absolutely beautiful.
I bet
she's beautiful. She's sitting right underneath the table for me right now, waiting for me patiently to take her out for a walk.
Oh, well, have a good time. I don't want to keep Gracie waiting. Thank you, Lynn. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Lisa. Continue with the great, great show that you have. I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. Thank you, Lynn. We'll be right back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up, 203-333-9422.